Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming together for this glorious Sunday gathering. Thank you, everyone that's here in the sanctuary, so I can see your lovely faces and we can join together. And I welcome everyone that's listening on Awakening Together Radio and anyone who happens to be listening to the recording after the fact. So, just wanted to say also welcoming into, as Dawn said, this conscious community. We are so blessed to be here together in this conscious community. So I'm going to let Dawn play our welcoming song. And while she does, everybody greet each other on the chat board, please.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you, Dawn. So our statement of purpose as Awakening Together: we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Now, we have five core values, so I chose core value number 3 because it most closely reflects what I'm going to talk about today. So core value 3 says, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the beliefs in the individuals as who we are. It's really fun to read through the core values every once in a while and get to know them, because we have some awesome core values, Awakening Together does. Okay, and I have a bunch of announcements to read, so hang in there while I read the announcements on my phone here. First announcement. Please join us on Sunday, September 22nd, so that's next Sunday, for our movie discussion group in the sanctuary. This one's going to be different because both Reverends Regina Dawn Aker and Jay McCormick will lead us in the discussion of the movie Next. The movie Next takes its inspiration from a Philip K. Dick short story. Of course, he's a science fiction writer, just fabulous short stories. The movie stars Nicolas Cage, Julianne Moore, and Jessica Biel. Nicolas Cage plays the part of a Las Vegas magician named Chris Johnson, who can see into the future. He is pursued by FBI agents seeking to use his abilities to prevent a nuclear terrorist attack. There won't be a play sheet this month because everyone is asked instead to watch the movie and then show up for a very healing and spontaneous discussion. And that's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific Time on next Sunday, September 22nd. So this is really fun. It's a new program or new concept for the program for just this coming week. And Jay Sherrill and I saw the movie on Friday night. Very interesting. Bring a notepad. Write down what you see as inspiration, spiritual inspirations in that movie, and that's what we'll discuss. Second announcement. Join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 on Pacific Time, for our speaker spotlight with guest speaker Ron Raitz. Ron was elected to our board of directors this May. So Ron shares in his regular program, Journey Beyond Words, on the first, third, and fifth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Ron always shares in a gentle, open, and compassionate manner. He is contemplative. I don't know how to say that word. Contemplative. There we go. He is contemplative, inspiring, and invites participation. Please plan to join us for the special program tonight at 8 p.m. So I'm looking forward to that. Third announcement. The Awakening Together annual fall retreat is 5 weeks away starts from today. The first one is actually starting on Sunday, October 20th through Saturday the 26th. That one's 7 days, and it's a self-awareness retreat. The second retreat, it's 5 days long, starts on Monday, October 28th through Friday, November 1st. And that one is a Satsang and Sangha retreat. We invite you to come for one or both retreats. For information or to register, visit our website, awakening-together.org, and look under Retreats and Classes tab on our menu bar. And related to this is if you're planning to come to this fall retreat, we have 3 rooms left in the ladies' dorm. We had originally reserved the space at the retreat house for those who were coming for both retreats. But now, as we near the fall retreat, we have opened up lodging to those who are coming for only 1 week during the retreat. So again, to reserve your lodging, go to our website and select the retreat house on the menu bar and look under lodging reservations. There is still, and also we recommend if you are a man or couple that you can get a private cabin at 2 Fox Cabins. The cabins are within walking distance of the treehouse, include breakfast each morning, and are available at a very reasonable rates. So for more information, you can go to their website, which is www.2foxcabins.com. There's also other lodging available in La Vida. And you can also find that under our website, under Retreats 2019 Fall Retreat. Click on the lodging options link. Last announcement. We want your opinion. We recently sent out a survey requesting your opinion on any past retreats you may have attended at the retreat house. We're also seeking each member's input so we can plan retreats of interest to you for 2020. The survey was sent to daily update subscribers. If you've not yet completed your survey, please go to our website, look under To Read, AT News, and look for the news item titled We Want Your Opinion, and the survey link will be there. So this is cool because we're asking what kind of retreats do you actually want to see in 2020, next year? So we need your input for that. So those are the announcements. Thank you so much for hanging in there with our announcements. So I'm going to play an opening song, and then I'll do a prayer. And then I've asked our member Lynn Castaldo to read from the teachings of Inner Ramana. So let me play our opening song first, and I'm going to share my screen here. Hang on.
Even as I wander, I'll keep you in sight. You're a candle in the
So fun, oldie but goodie. I replaced the words baby and girl with with God or Jesus or whoever you pray to. But when I do that, the lyrics say, God, take me to the places that alone I'd never find. God, you give me my life direction. You make everything so clear. Even as I wander, I'm keeping you in sight. I'm getting closer than I ever thought I might. I just love that. So today's topic is self versus self-concept and using discernment through contrast to help us uncover the true self. So I am versus I am this or that. But first, we have Lynn. She's going to read from the teachings of Inner Amana, beautifully scribed by our Reverend Regina Dawn Akers. And she'll be reading two parts. The first one is looking at the false I thought, and the second part, exposing that I thought. So take it away, Lynn, if you are ready, and thank you so much.
Okay, here we go. Yay. All right, thank you. So I'm going to be reading from pages 23 to 25, if you want to grab your book, and also from 37 to 39. So looking at the false I thought, this was scribed by Regina on February 19th, 2009. So 10 years ago. It's time to go beyond everything you've learned. Perfect song. Perfect song. It's time to go beyond everything you've learned. Everything you've learned has been helpful. It's been helpful towards willingness to take this next step. But without the step that we are taking now, all that you've learned serves no real purpose towards awakening. First, we have to notice the false I, and then we must relinquish it by not listening to its chatter anymore. It is one thing to tell you that a separate individual I exists in your thinking, and this I is an obstacle to realizing the truth about yourself. It is another thing for you to see and notice this I for yourself. As you look, you will notice that I exists as thought. You will notice that it reinforces itself through the constant chatter of the mind. Every story the mind tells reinforces the concept of me. Every little thought, no matter how subtle, reinforces the individual concept it has of itself. So today we will continue to practice the mantra. The mantra that was given to Regina was, I am that I am. So we will continue to practice the mantra and surrender as a means of quieting the mind and detaching from thought. These two practices are key to your awakening, and we will not abandon them as just a step. But to reinforce your willingness and desire to practice the mantra and surrender with a full devotion of your heart, we are going to embark on another step of learning. We are going to look exactly on the core message of the mind. Today, when you notice the chatter in your mind, quiet the mind with the mantra, and then with the coolness, the maturity of the quieted mind, look back at what the mind was telling you while you were listening to its chatter. Look for the I or me in the story or thought. Discover how the tricks and tumbles of the mind, in whatever direction it was turning in the moment, notice how it was telling you about I or me separate from everything else. This is the key attachment in the mind. All other attachments are brought about to support and reinforce this one. So as we let go of seeming specific attachments through surrender and through quieting the mind, we are really letting go of one key attachment. I will call that the false identity I or me. Surrender is a means of detaching from the false I because surrender acts in the world without belief or interest in the mind's stories and ideas. which are the stories and ideas that uphold the idea of I. It is important to notice that this I is fully supported by thought. I am not that can be a helpful inner response when the mind is insisting through its stories and ideas that you are what you are not. After refusing to accept the mind's thoughts as your truth, you can humbly and with desire return the mind to the mantra and surrender, which are the path, the moving walkway, back into the remembrance of your truth. It is important to realize that belief in the mind writes the script of the world. Therefore, surrendered action without belief does not write a script. In this way, it ultimately frees one from the illusion of the world. And that's the end of page 25. So now I'm going to read Exposing the I Thought, which was given on February 23rd, 2009. Let's talk for a moment of the power of the I thought. This power that I speak of is merely the power of distraction or deception. And it has no true power or effect over the heart. For the true heart knows itself and cannot be affected by distraction or deception. But the I thought has the power to keep you distracted from your heart so that you forget for a time, possibly for a long, long time, what it is that you want and what it is that you are not. And this is in bold. What you want is to know self. What you are not is the I thought. I feel I must say this again and bring your attention to what I have said, because as long as you are deceived by this one deception, you cannot know the true self. This deception blinds you to your true nature. I say again, this deception blinds you to your true nature. And this deception is the false identity, I. What am I? Is a good question to ask. The mind can come up with a myriad of answers to satisfy itself with an identity, an image that says, this is what or who I am. But each of the mind's answers falls short of truth. Because each of the mind's answers provide an identity thought that sets you apart from others. So they give some examples. I'll read a few. I am a man, a woman. I am one who sits in stillness. I am a family man, a mother. I am an object or a preferred idea. In short, I am separate from other objects or less preferred ideas. This is the I thought. Relinquishment of the I thought also means relinquishment of all ideas of identity. This includes relinquishment of I am one who does not think of I. One delay of thought that the I thought provides as a means of survival is I must change my circumstances in order to do the work necessary to relinquish thoughts of I. But I would encourage one to ask, who must change circumstances? Certainly, if one asks this question, he will find that I, who feels individual and separate from this circumstance, feels the circumstance must change. Upon discovering this, one can see he is being tempted by the distraction of the I thought, and he can choose to return to his mantra instead. Every circumstance is appropriate for letting go of the false I, because every circumstance is being experienced now. And now is always the time to turn the attention from I thinking back to concentrated stillness in the mind. Concentrated stillness is not I thinking. It is not even I am still. You do not know the nature of self because you believe that you are the I in thought. But what you are is beyond thought. Knowing this self is the goal we seek. So thank you, Shauna, for allowing me to read this. And remember, I am that I am. Back to you.
Thank you, Lynn. That was beautiful. Great little booklet. I hope everyone has the Teachings of Inner Ramana. It also comes with a little CD, so you can listen to it in your car. So join with me in prayer. I ask that Holy Spirit uses me as a vessel to speak through me for the message that is perfect for each and every one. It speaks to the one mind with love and with gratitude for being here and being together. I say amen. So thank you, everyone. And as I said, my topic of today is self versus self-concept. So and we're going to use a discernment through using contrast. For me, using the contrast, it's really easy to feel into which it is that I'm believing at the moment. So what is a self-concept? For me, it feels like the changing, personalized mind that includes the body, a collection of believed thoughts that I'm attached to, and it's named Shauna. So through my life, I've chosen to believe certain ideas and reject others. And these make up what Inner Ramana calls the false I thought. And I take full responsibility for believing these ideas as truth and allowing them to drive my thinking, my words, and my actions. Sure, I've learned a lot of what I believe and have accepted as truth from family, friends, culture, schooling, but it's still my responsibility to continue to accept and believe this is what I am. And there's an idea that's the conditioning. Maybe I even brought some of this in with me, some of these tendencies in with me in this lifetime to be experienced that hasn't been experienced yet. Now that's a mystery. But what I don't want to remain a mystery is how to overcome this self-concept. It is this self-will that is an obstacle to realizing the truth of what I am. So I've dedicated my life to relinquishing everything that clutters my mind and makes me blind to the true self. So how do I do that? It's our practice. And my practice includes the mantra, I am that I am, which Inner Ramana has wonderful instructions for using the mantra, and surrender, which is a moment to moment. I'm still learning how to surrender deeper and deeper in each moment. Inner Ramana also teaches the purpose of surrender. And through classes, I'm taking Gentle Healing One with Jacqueline and Connie, who are here today. So using the lesson throughout the day and reading the tips is very helpful. Like today's lesson is, I want the peace of God. So turning to that in the mantra throughout the day brings my mind back to self. And also I'm in Gentle Healing 3. And I did want to read the quote from today, because in contemplating these quotes from the masters that were gathered together by Michael Langford, the quote for today is, realize I am not that ego sense and rest in pure awareness. Is that not perfect for today? I love the way we get confirmation through everything that happens throughout the day. And if you've missed Karen Worth's meditation this morning, please listen to the recording, because that was one of the quotes that she just beautifully brings through this meditation that just sends you into contemplation and peace and the self. So it's using these practices and discernment to notice when I'm engaging this self-concept throughout the day, realizing, what am I listening to? Which voice am I listening to? Which becomes a moment-to-moment practice. And I use the contrast between when I'm listening to this, the self-concept, or listening to self, the truth, to figure out which way my mind is working in this moment. This practice requires honesty, humility, sincerity, courage, and willingness. So why do I care about learning to discern between the self-concept and the self? Because I desire to know truth. The self-concept is not truth. It changes constantly. I want to know truth in my heart. I also care because I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. I want to be driven by spiritual wisdom, allowing it to move me in everything I do, as opposed to being pushed and pulled by the egoic desires and wants. So the motivation to really care about who I'm listening to, which voice I'm listening to, is really twofold for me. I no longer want to cause suffering and pain to myself or those around me. I no longer want to contribute a lower vibration to the one mind. And step two, I want to fall in love with what we are. I want to fall in love with our true self. This is what we are. I want to commune with that. Spending time within this light of the true self, that what we are, allows the direct experience of what I am. And I want to tell you a story about my first direct experience of this true self. I think I was about 7 or 8, somewhere in there. I call it my true baptism. My mom and my brother and I were visiting an aunt. And I woke up early and I felt this intense homesickness. I mean, it was way beyond the fact that I wasn't in my house at some address. It was intense homesickness. It brought tears to my eyes. And suddenly the whole room filled up with this golden light. And I felt this love so complete, so fully accepting, that I knew I was in the arms of love, God, truth. I didn't have a concept for it. There were no words. But I recognized it as home. I recognized it as my true home. And this is what has always been constant with me. It's always been with me. It's this, felt like it, this is our true home. It never changed. And this is the foundation of my spiritual life through my life. And I've been so blessed to have this to remind me of the path I should be on. Now, I've certainly gone off. Oh, boy. After high school and college, I definitely went off path. But it's always been with me. And that is our true self. So let's look at some of these contrasts that I'm talking about that helps me come back from the self-concept to our true self. And if you'd like, you can grab a piece of paper and a pen, make 2 columns, and as they occur to you, write down what your self-concept of yourself is and your direct experience of true self. And we can share afterwards in fellowship with Jay. So, one of the ways that I discern is a really good teaching from NTI. It's 2nd Thessalonians chapter 3, and if you have your book, it's on page 372. Again, this is NTI, 2 Thessalonians, page 372. Ask your mind to rest that you may be led by your heart. Your thoughts may seem to trick you, as many of them support the busy idleness of mind. Therefore, manage your thoughts in this way. And this is the discernment practice. So great. As a thought comes up in your attempts to rest, look at it gently with no attachment to what it says. Ask only this question: have you come to me from the heart? You will feel the answer immediately. Do not doubt what you feel. It is the heart, that answers this question. When the answer is no, ask the thought to pass in peace. Feel no resistance to that which you've asked to fade away. When the heart answers yes, relax into listening. Relax fully, as you need not question this thought anymore. Let your questioning turn to trust. Let listening be the practice of the quiet mind. You are listening to your true voice, and it is teaching you who you truly are. Ah, it's so beautiful. I'm all tingly. Okay, so looking at the contrasts, let's start with constantly changing and constant. This is the most obvious one to me, contrast, because the direct experience of the love and light, the constant divinity, it's always there. When we look through awareness, it's always been with us. That's what's been constant throughout our lives. Whereas the constantly changing body, mind, self concept, my body's changing right now. It's getting older with each second, right? Shauna concept changes depending on who she's with. Oh my gosh, it's always changing. So if you'd like to, for just a second, close your eyes and feel into that which is always constant, that which is still and has always been with you. Feel that for just a moment. Go into the awareness of that. Feel how that feels in your heart, in your body. Okay, now open your eyes and turn attention back to this body-mind. Feel the body, feel the mind, feel all the movement and the thought. That's the contrast. That's a good one for me. Another area of contrast is defensiveness and defenselessness. I feel when I want to defend my thoughts and opinions, beliefs, that enlivens the self-will. I can feel it come up into my throat. I have to defend what I just said. That is part of the self-concept, the self-will. Anytime I take an opportunity to stop that, not speak it, just relax, that will weaken the self-will. It's always an excellent opportunity not to speak from that urge. Whereas in defenselessness, it's open, it's allowing, it's just being. It is to be as things are, allowing everything to be as they are. Defenselessness is what we truly are. It's part of ourself, our true self. And then another contrast is movement versus stillness. The body's always moving. The mind's always moving. It's always changing. Self-will is always thinking, acting for selfish reasons. Every time I indulge that, it strengthens this self-will or that sense of ego. Whereas surrendered movement, having ourself move us, having it come through us with guidance, with intuition, that is from stillness. We can only allow that and hear ourselves speak with guidance and intuition from silence. So spending more time in this isness so I can watch thought move through me, but not become attached to it, not engage it. And then I'm more receptive to guidance. Another area of contrast is judgment versus acceptance. To feel into what judgment feels like. It's contracted. It's limited. It's wanting things to be different than they are. Fighting with life. Fighting with what is. Fighting who's in front of you. Because it's a judgment. This also feels like I know how things should be. I think I know how things should be. It's the need to be right. And this strengthens our self-concept, self-will. Whereas feeling into acceptance, it's expansive, open, receptive, loving what is. It's an attitude of I know nothing and open to the mystery of discovering. It's being curious about what will unfold instead of planning what I want to unfold and being excited about what's going to unfold. I got chills again. It's peaceful. So this weakens the self-will, spending time with what is in acceptance. And one of the biggest contrasts that I think we can look at is hate versus love. And I don't mean the kind of human love that the world knows, although that's part of it, but I mean the all-encompassing love that is what we are. Hate versus this all-encompassing love. How does that feel? Now feel into hate for a moment, which includes the tiniest irritation, the tiniest annoyance, anger, all the way to full-out rage. That's what hate is for me. It's tight. It's tension. Awareness becomes this tiny focus. You can't see anything else. Remember the last time you were really angry? Could you see anything around you? Could you hear anything around you? No, that focus point is tight. It's a distorted power. It's a hardness. Extreme separation. Selfish, me, mine, and my. This is the face of the self-concept, the face of the ego, to me. Whereas love, drop into the all-encompassing love. It's soft, open, accepting. There's relaxed joy in it. That's our true power. Selfless. There is no self-will in it. Inclusion of everything as it is. Seeing everything as us, me. It's awareness without boundaries. It's unlimited, relaxed focus. You can be aware of everything simultaneously when you're in love, in awareness. It's surrendered. It's quiet. It is our true nature. This is our true self. So, I feel a sense of urgency about this also, about being able to discern between our self-will and our true self. If anybody's paying attention to the world, there's a lot of stuff going on. We're needed now. Our light is needed more than ever. Plus, the bodies are all aging, getting older. We live in a country that allows us to practice anything we want. We have this amazing community right here with amazing teachers and amazing teachings. So my sense of urgency comes from my heart. Let's grab this opportunity now. Do not let a day pass where we're not stepping into ourselves as much as possible. I just feel a real sense of urgency about this. So another tool that's interesting to use to discern between the true self and the true concept was looking at our thoughts and feelings. And I learned about this from the Releasing the I Am Bad retreat. This was a teaching that Regina gave to us. So noting that neither thoughts or feelings are true, but feelings are a better indicator of what I'm believing right now. Thoughts cover up the feelings and keep me caught in the story. So stop listening to these thoughts and drop deeply into looking at the feelings. Sit with them. This is what I'm still believing. Bringing awareness to the feeling is the light of truth and healing. So in this way, watching my feelings and being aware of them instead of denying them and pushing them aside, this is another way that I discern which voice I'm listening to with increased clarity. So I'd like to ask you to do a fun exercise with me. It's a felt sense of the contrast between self-concept and true self. And this was part of a guided meditation that Regina did with us during the Silence and Satsang retreat. So close your eyes. This will be step one. Close your eyes. Get in touch with the body, but don't change anything. What do you feel? Is there tension, tightness in the belly, shallow breathing? For me, there's a low level of fear, a limited focus, feeling how, and then really feel how uncomfortable this feels. Don't change it, just feel. How uncomfortable does it feel to just be as I am right now? Sit with that for just a moment. Feel how uncomfortable that feels. Okay, now step two. Full, deep belly breath. Shake it all out. Shake out your shoulders. Shake out your jaw. Big breath, big breath. Relax. Just relax. Let all that tension flow out. Another big breath. Now feel the contrast. In that relaxation, letting go of that tension, which probably might take a little bit. Just let go of that tension. Deep belly breath. Let a smile come to your face. Let joy fill your heart. Not doing it, just allowing it. And feel that contrast. That uncomfortable, tight tension is what we are when we're feeling, when we're listening to the small self. Big contrast between being relaxed, open, and allowing, which is our true self, our true nature. So, another thing I wanted to look at was, in A Course in Miracles, between lessons 81, oops, thought I had it marked, here we go, between lessons, oh, there it is, 81, and, oops, thought I had it. Hang on one sec. Sorry. Okay. It's page 333. It's about willingness. So hang in there and let me read this about willingness. Our next few lessons make a special point of firming up your willingness to make your weak commitments strong. Your scattered goals blend into one intent. You are not asked for total dedication all the time as yet, but you're asked to practice now in order to attain the sense of peace which unified commitment will bestow, if only intermittently. It is experiencing this which makes it sure that you will give your total willingness to follow the way the Course sets forth. Our lessons are now geared specifically to widening horizons. Direct approaches to the special blocks which keep your vision narrow and too limited to see, let you see the value of our goal. We are attempting now to lift these blocks, however briefly. Words alone cannot convey the sense of liberation which their lifting brings. But the experience of peace and freedom that comes as you give up your tight control of what you see speaks for itself. Your motivation will become so intensified that words become of little consequence. You will be sure of what you want and what is valueless. So we start our journey beyond words by concentrating first on what impedes our progress still. Experience of what exists beyond defensiveness remains beyond achievement while it is denied. It may be there, but you cannot accept its presence. So we now attempt to go past all defenses for a little while each day. No more than this is asked, because no more than this is needed. It will be enough to guarantee the rest will come. So beautiful idea about, or beautiful teaching about willingness, which is what we must do, what we must have in our heart, genuine willingness. So in closing, let's join as one in willingness and surrender to the quiet places within and awaken together. So let me play a song. This is for contemplation before we have open sharing. And this is from Kirtana, Already Home and Already Free.
Moment now. go, already home, already free. Nowhere to go.
Also wanted to remind everyone, if Dawn will put up the link for donations, that Awakening Together survives almost alone on your donations. So thanks to everyone who has generously given so that we can freely offer all the classes, many of the classes, including Gentle Healing 1, 2, and 3, which are priceless. And the classes in the sanctuary is all free. So an easy way to donate would be just put it on automatic payment. You won't miss the money. You don't even have to think about it. So please ask within for guidance about donating to keep this amazing opportunity and unique spiritual community up and running. So thanks, everyone. Thank you, Lynn, again, for the beautiful, beautiful reading. And we'll open for open sharing now, if anybody would like to share. And Dawn, if you will help me look for there we go. Susan, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. That was, Shauna, that was so inspiring. And what was really helpful to me was that you stepped us through. You're a wonderful teacher. You stepped us through the contrasts as we went along. And as we went, it was actually growing within me. So it was kind of, it was a perpetual learning within me as you were kind of instructing as we went. So thank you so much. One of the things that really spoke to me was when you began talking about the differences between the contrasting between the hate and the love. And those are such general topics, but the way it was broken down, it really came to me how hate is not just rage. It's those little teeny tiny biting irritations that start to fester and grow. And it is that judgment, that beast that, you know, like a yeasty beastie that starts to, you know, go over the top, even in these tiny, tiny little crystals of irritation. And then you contrasted that with the all-encompassing, soft, nurturing love. And that was just incredible, the contrast and the way that felt on the inside, just both of them growing and one of them festering, one of them gently evolving in us. That very helpful. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Susan. That's wonderful. Great, great reflection. Beautiful how it grew in you. Anybody else like to share? Nobody? Nobody wants to share? Well, we can say, George, is it really your happy birthday?
Yes, it is. That, you know, I was talking to Sonia this morning. I said, well, I'm ready to stop birthdays. And she said, now be careful what you ask for. The universe gives you that. And I said, well, okay, I guess I better ask for, 30 or 40 more then. So, so anyway, thank you. And, you know, I want to be like Benjamin Button, you know, start getting younger instead of older. So. But while I've got the mic, you know, the very first time I heard you present in the sanctuary, I've loved you. And your clarity and your willingness to be transparent and your enthusiasm just really always speak to me. So great message today. You know, as we go through Gentle Healing 3 and we're in that area of the large self versus self, small self, it's amazing just to keep contemplating the contrast there. So your message today was a great sharing on that. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Yes, the contemplations are so helpful for me to just keep in touch with guidance. Lynn, please take the mic.
Shauna, thanks so much for this, Rev. Shauna. I love, fall in love with what I am, that the whole message. And you know what? You just radiate love. I mean, I'm just watching how peaceful and calm you were. It's just so beautiful. And, you know, in the reading, what really jumped out at me, which was a perfect lesson for me, is the thinking that I must change my circumstances in order to do the work necessary to relinquish thoughts of I. You know, and then just all this message about look at the contrast versus the constants. You know, all of it was just so powerful. So thank you so much. All right, I'm going to let go of the mic.
Thank you, Lynn. Yes, it's a great teaching. I love to look back at that little book. It's so such a great teaching. Thank you. Anybody else like to share? We have a few minutes left. I see Don posted a really good way to ask for donations, much better than I did. Is that what I was supposed to say? It's a really good posting for donating. I think I'll read that if nobody else wants to share, because this is really important. They can hear it on the radio too. This is posted from Dawn. As a church, Awakening Together's primary form of income are donations. We offer most of our services for free, including our weekly gatherings, gentle healing, hundreds of teaching audios, and daily emails. Awakening Together Radio, the online sanctuary, sanctuary administration, and more. We're very happy to offer these services for free. However, there are costs involved in providing these services, which is why your donations are important. If you benefit from Awakening Together and the services we provide, consider donating. We recommend going within and asking for guidance and then donating as guided. We trust that our shared inner wisdom will guide donations perfectly, so that everyone has what they need and no one goes without. Thank you for considering this request. To donate to Awakening Together, go to awakening-together.org and click on the donate menu. Thank you. Thanks, Dawn. That's much better than what I said. Okay. Anybody else have anything else to share? No, I don't see anybody. So maybe we could, Dawn, could you play a song and then we will start our fellowship with Reverend Jay McCormick at 9:30. I'll put Dawn on the spot. She has such a great selection of songs. Thank you, Dawn.
As a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest, and he would read the holy word, and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is, everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. And when I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad, miracles don't happen still. Now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick. Here home. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, barely wet my fingertips, but now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. To be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, cause everything is holy now. Testament, that'd be very hard to say. See another new morning come. Say it's not a sacrament until you hear that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood. I saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush and singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, cause everything is holy now.
Thank you very much, Dawn. I appreciate it. So does anybody have anything to share about? Oh, thank you, Jacqueline. Go for it.
Yeah, good morning. Shauna, I just want to thank you. Hey, everybody. I just want to thank you, Shauna, for your homily this morning and more than that, for your clarity. I always appreciate when I'm listening to you, how you catch the nuances in the teaching and, you know, in a very practical manner and then give them back to us very precisely and concisely. And I really admire that about you. And I thank you so much for everything you bring to Awakening Together. Thank you for speaking this morning. It was great.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for sharing. And of course, it's being open to what comes through me. That's the main thing, to letting go of the fear of looking funny and saying the wrong thing and just allowing what's supposed to come through me come through me. I'm sure I prepared, I've been outlined, but even the outline comes from mostly from guidance. But I try to allow all this stuff, that little self that wants to say a lot of stuff, allow that to just relax and fall into the background. But thank you for recognizing. That's what I'm working on. I want to be clear. That's my goal. So thank you. Anybody else have anything to share? Like how about from your piece of paper, you wrote down what your self-concept of yourself is? No? I have a funny little, go ahead, Jacqueline.
Can you run us through that exercise again? You said we might share it when Jay starts, and I just want to make sure that I'm ready for that.
Yeah, good idea. It's just taking a piece of paper and in one column write down what you think your self-concept is, and then on the other side, your direct experience of our true of your true self. And then compare those two, and we'll see what people say during the sharing. So for instance, when I was in grade school, we've got a couple more minutes. When I was in grade school, a teacher asked all of us, she gave us a list of all the students in class and asked us to write down our self-concept of each person in that class. And then I got 30 pieces of paper from all the other kids. And I think this was sixth grade. So this was really, I mean, it obviously impacted me. I remember it. Most of them said, she's part of the horsey group. Okay, that's true. Some of them said, she's part of that horsey clique. But one person said, I was stuck up. And that just stabbed me in the heart and went, whoa. And I really looked at that for a long time. And I didn't understand it for a long time. But what it was, I felt, is I was so shy. I was so shy, so afraid of engaging anyone that they took that as being stuck up. And I remember that. Every time I think someone else is stuck up, I just realize they're shy or they're whatever, and let go of that judgment. So it was a really cool exercise for when I was very little. Kind of a cool thing for a teacher to do, huh, Lynn? Don't you think? Lynn's a teacher. Okay, anything else? Let's see. Oh, here Lynn is posted in the chat. Usually teachers say it has to be positive. So good turnaround, Shauna. Yes. That was back in the early 60s, so we weren't as as conditioned to say just positive things as we are now, I believe. Okay. Well, I'm going to hand the mic back over to Dawn, and next comes Reverend Jay with our fellowship. So I'm going to give it to you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone. Blessings and love.